What did Anne get Mark Brendanowitz for Christmas? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Local Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello, and welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name's Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 115, being recorded Saturday, April 13th, 2024. And today, I'm going to be talking about season 4, episode 13. Holy shit, that wasn't even planned. I just thought of that right now. Season 4, episode 13, the date today is 4/13. Wow, that's crazy. Bowling for votes. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. And just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. That's crazy, actually. I'm going to just double back on that 4/13 thing. Wow. Because actually, in my notes here, I have recorded Sunday, April 14th, because I was going to do this tomorrow, but you know what, folks? I'm feeling crazy tonight. It's 10:30 on a Saturday night. I'm like, you know what? I was getting ready for bed, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go record. That's actually just because I had just woken up from a nap before. Joni and I, we went to Home Depot, and we got some stuff for the yard. We had an awesome weekend here. Halfway so far. Saturday, today, it was 70 degrees. Beautiful day. Just awesome. So, and then tomorrow is going to be similar, I guess. Maybe a little warmer, actually. But anyway, so we bought, you know, we got some new plants and stuff. We do this every year. But we bought 25 bags of mulch for the yard. And I used all 25 of them and probably covered, like, I don't know, a third of what needed to be done. And we've done, like, because we, you know, we got the house in at the end of 2020. So starting in 2021 is when we started with the yard stuff. So I've been, like, perpetually getting all the mulch back to, like, a new color. However, it's just so damn expensive. It's like we can never, like, get the whole thing done all at one year. So it's like, and then by the time you put down new, you know, we keep using the same color, but it's like every year the stuff's kind of faded by the time you have to put new stuff down. So it never matches, but either way, it still looks better. But yeah, 25 bags of mulch, and like, I was ready to die. I was just like dragging ass after that. And I know that is a lot of work, but I mean, it's just, man, like 2 years ago, even I was in such better shape. Oh God. Let's talk about cicadas again. So I was listening to last week's episode and thinking back on what, you know, I had talked to about with Joni with the cicadas, because, yeah, I kind of thought about that. It's like, all right, so these things, this is every 17 years. I've witnessed this before. And I think I said it last week, but again, I don't really remember it being that big a deal. And last week I was making a song like, oh my God, like they're going to be infesting, and maybe they will, who knows. Again, these things are not, they're harmless, but they are big. Again, I mean, like, if just, I don't know, right now, look at like your finger, like your index finger, bend it like at the knuckle, you know, and then it's pretty much not the knuckle where your nail is, obviously the knuckle in the middle, but it's like how big a cicada is with the wings. I mean, like, it's like the size of a big bolt, like a big bullet. And those, these things are not harmful. I mean, like, just if you've ever been hit by one, because like they'll run into you sometimes, they don't do it on purpose, but I mean, it's like, ha-ha! And then they, like, you can hear their wings flapping too as they're like right by your ear. They're disgusting. But I got a couple messages on Instagram from Teresa from Germany, dear friend of the show, and this kind of has to do with cicadas. Actually, it's got a lot to do with cicadas. The first sentence is about cicadas. It says, "Hey, Brian, I learned a new English word today, cicadas." If you'll remember last week when I was talking about the cicadas, I wasn't sure if this was like a global thing. So I had kind of reached out to Teresa from Germany asking what the situation is like over there because I didn't feel like Googling it. And so anyway, she wrote back, like I said, "Learned a new English word today, cicadas. I've heard of insects that only appear every 17 years, but I didn't know the English name. We don't have them in Central Europe. I think some species of cicada live in Southern Europe, but they appear annually." There's more to this, but I'll get back to that. So Teresa, I don't know if I mentioned it last week. We do have cicadas every year. They're just not to the extent that we're supposed to be getting them like at, or, you know, within a month here, which is, you know, like streets and maybe not streets, like but sidewalks and whatnot, just like covered with them. And to where they're just like when you're walking outside, you're kind of having to like dodge them. Now it's pretty much you can hear them all the time. But you'd be living in the Midwest. I mean, every summer I'm used to the cicada sound. It's just, it's almost like it just, it's a constant humming. So it is very irritating, especially at night when you're trying to sleep. But I mean, we always have our air conditioning on. So I mean, like the house is closed up, the windows are closed. I can't really hear it at night. And like I said, I kind of tune it out. But yeah, so we do have cicadas every year. But this 17-year one, I think, yeah, I don't know. I guess this is the last time I'll talk about it until it happens. So anyway, getting back to her message, she said, "Also, you asked a while ago if bitch was the correct term for female dog." So I did ask this last week, I think. "Also, thanks to Al from Melmac," he replied, and he said, "Yes, that is correct." Back to Teresa's email, she says, "We were taught in English class in high school that it is, and everyone thought it was hilarious. Bitch as an insult is one of many anglicism in the German language." So I don't know if I pronounced that word right, anglicism. I had to look it up to make sure what it meant, and it just basically means just like a kind of a word taken from the English vocabulary. So yeah, bitch is a female dog. So then she goes on to say, "I'm a huge fan of Paul Rudd, even before Parks and Rec. And he managed to make Bobby Newport into such an iconic character with just a couple of episodes. I never paused to read all of Leslie's goals. They are hilarious. I hadn't noticed how many of them are not even Pawnee related. This reminds me of when I went to visit an elementary school to give a lesson on local politics. I asked the kids what they wanted for our town. Among the wishes were a chocolate fountain and free pizza." So, Teresa, thank you so much for writing in and sharing that. That's awesome. Yeah, the list she's talking about was from last week for the campaign ad episode when Leslie started for her ad. It started scrolling through all the different things she wanted to change about Pawnee. Again, if you go on Instagram, Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, just go to my page there, and there's three screenshots, and they're hysterical. There will probably be like three or four that are actually, you know, again, that are like relevant ones that look like you won't really laugh at them because they're good. And then you'll see one that just is so out of left field, but it's so funny because it makes sense for Pawnee. And again, like the ones I used last week, you know, it's like the one of them, "Lower the trampoline heights." And then the next one, it's like it's, have a memorial for the people from the trampoline incident. Like, it's ridiculous. But anyway, speaking of things from last week, I did remember I asked you guys, I was like, come on, if any of you guys know my wife, send her a message, you know, tell her, hey, Bri looks good with the shaved head, so we can keep this shaved head thing going. Al from Melmac reached out. He sent her a message via space.com. I don't know. I got nothing. But yeah, he did. He let me know. He sent her a message. And it was funny because I forgot to, like, I should have mentioned that to her because I think it would have been really funny if I just happened to say, because I didn't know Elf was going to do that. he texted me. He's like, hey, just so you know, I texted Joni. And I was like, oh, great. And then I thought it was really funny, actually, because, you know, she had, I don't know, maybe it's not as funny as I thought. But either way, Elf, I appreciate you doing that. So, yeah. Happy birthday, Dad. Dad, you're not listening to this. So, Elf, going back to you real quick, maybe you can relay this message to Dad. Happy birthday. Your birthday is today, and you are old. But I love you. Let's get to some filler.
Everything he's saying is nonsense, and he's fooling them.
Very quickly to start off, I'm not even going to, I will spend less than a minute on this. I just want to talk about X-Men 97, which is on Disney Plus. It's the continuation of X-Men, the animated series, which is on Fox from 1992 to 1997. That's on there now too. That's the one with the, yeah, that iconic opening phrase. I did watch the show when it was on. It was great. But anyway, X-Men 97 is like an updated, like it's a continuation of the show, but it is, man, it is fucking good. Like it's way better than it should be. Like I'll say it like that. And I think episode 5 is the one that just aired, and it's like maybe the first half season break, like the mid-season break. That one really fucking packs a punch. Whew. So X-Men 97, definitely check it out if you're a Marvel fan. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was Fallout Season 1, which just dropped on Amazon Prime, all 8 episodes for Season 1. I really enjoyed the hell out of this. Honestly, at first, for the first, probably 2 or 3 episodes, I wasn't really feeling it. I was probably like 50-50 on the show. There were certain things about it. I'm not going to spoil anything important about this show, but I'll probably, I'm going to talk about some of the characters and stuff for a little bit. But this is based on a video game series. I've never played any of these games. They're available on like all the different platforms, from PC to Xbox to PlayStation. I don't know about Wii, but either way, they're pretty readily available. And it's about basically just life after it's a post-apocalyptic story that is after, what I'm seeing, at least I'm deducing this from what the TV show is, a nuclear war where it's just destroyed everything. And there are different factions around this there's the Wasteland, which is basically people who live above the ground. And then there's people who live underground in the vaults, and they're called vault dwellers by, well, pretty much everyone who lives up top. But anyway, really good show. It had some really good violence, a lot of violence. I'm very interested in playing this game. My buddy Brad told me that, he's a big fan of the series, and he definitely recommends them. So I'm going to check them out at some point. I'll probably pick... I assume I'll find one or two of these games at least at a garage sale or something over the summer. But anyway, so what I thought at first, like I said, the first couple episodes I wasn't a huge fan of. A lot of needle drops. So there's a lot of 1950s music, which is like the theme of this, even though this show takes place in like a different version, I guess, like, because it takes place in 2077, but in 2077, it's like 1950. It's weird. So it's like the future from us now, but it's still like in the past. So if that makes any sense. But yeah, so there's a lot of that kind of music. Actually, that's the only kind of music they play. And there's a lot of slow motion action scenes with that music, like 1950s stuff played over it. And it's like, these songs are pretty good, I guess, but like you keep hearing them. And sometimes like the slow motion stuff, it reminds me too, like Zack Snyder-y with like, just like chaos going on in the back, like really, really good looking shots, but like slow motion for no reason at all. And there's certain characters, like a couple of them explained, but like Walton Goggins' character, he plays actually two characters on the show. He plays Cooper, who I really do like. And this is the first time I've ever liked a character, I think, by Walton Goggins. But it's only half, because he also plays a character called the Ghoul, who's just like a son of a bitch. And I guess he's good at that, but I still don't really like the actor. So that doesn't help out. But anyway, this guy's like still alive in the beginning of the show. And then like they tell you it's like 219 years later. Maybe I missed that part. Maybe that was a little unclear. And again, they did talk about some other characters who are still alive after this, how they did it. But I don't know if they said maybe this guy did that as well. So I'm trying not to spoil anything, like I said. This show also has the thing where, and now I don't know if there's different tiers on Amazon, like how you can watch this stuff, but mine doesn't have commercials, but it's got the thing like it's made to where there are breaks in the show that fade to black and then it comes back. And I mean, like it would with a commercial. However, there's no commercials and I don't understand. So I don't know. Yeah. Again, if Amazon has different tiers, like if they do, I thought everyone paid the same for Prime. So, I thought we were all getting it for free, the video part, but anyway. So some stuff that I did like about the show though, like inside the vaults, underground, I thought they looked pretty good. However, there were times where it seemed kind of like budgetary, even though, I mean, like, I'll get to it, how much money they spend on this. They spent a ton, but I guess they had to make it to make do with how they could actually create these things underground. But at times, like, it looked very sci-fi-ish, like Sci-Fi Channel, which is like Sharknado, Z Nation, which is I don't know, Shug. I know you like that show. I'm sorry. I think it's just unwatchable. I think it's so bad. You love everything zombie though. So, but anyway, yeah, there's some of the wasteland shots in this show though look incredible, kind of like any of the Mad Max movies because they're all in like deserts, but they just look great. And like I was talking about with the budget. So 8 episodes, the budget was $153 million. So, I mean, this is only almost $20 million per episode. I mean, like, that's great. I mean, like, that's a shitload of money. And Amazon's got the money, obviously. But, you know, and they spent a ton of money on the Lord of the Rings show. And that show looked great, even though it was pretty fucking boring, actually. And I didn't think it was very good. And I love Lord of the Rings. And I'll definitely watch. I know they're going to do another season, but I have a feeling it'll be better. Back to this show, really good gore and violence, a lot of good laughter. There's a lot of scenes in this, like one of my favorite kind of humor where it's like, like a joke is built, or not even a joke, but there's like tension building up, something like, and then it'll like, then it gets to the climax and it's like nothing. It's like, okay, never mind. The cast is mostly good. My favorite is Lucy. She's like the main character in the show. Ella Purnell, I think that's her name. She was in the show Yellow Jackets, which I may have talked about on the show a couple times. I wasn't and still am not a big fan of. Actually, like when the show started off, I was a really big fan. I was really into it for like 3 or 4 episodes. And I was like, maybe I don't like this show as much as I thought I did. And then my sister and I started covering it on Horrorcopia, or my other podcast I host with my sister. And we were doing a weekly coverage of it for season 2. And by like episode 5 or 6, we were like, we don't want to do this anymore. Like, this show's like really starting to suck and the characters all suck. But anyway, one of the good things from the show was Jackie, who, spoiler, sorry for Yellow Jackets. There's some time for you to pause it. I haven't said it yet, but she's not in season 2. But anyway, all right. So this character, she's the main, like I said, she's the main character. She's so likable, and maybe some of the stuff she does is a little bit unbelievable, but they do show you in the beginning that she's had like a lot of training and stuff. So I guess you can see how she can kick like a lot of ass. And it is very fun to watch, because she's just like, she's very like innocent the way she was raised, because she's a vault dweller and just being up on the surface. I mean, like the shit she has to see, it's like a lot of it's played in like comedic ways too, but it's still like really like, damn. And then I guess anyone, if you've seen the movie Love and Monsters, that was a really good one. It Dylan, I don't know, he was in the Maze Runner movies, But it's a movie where he has to kind of like trek across the like kind of a post-apocalyptic world. Not so much like this, because this one's more desert, I feel. There is city stuff, but I feel like a lot of it's desert. But there's a lot of mutated like creatures and stuff that are, some of them look really good and some of them look like really cheesy, but they still look okay. I don't know, I guess. But anyway, yeah, Love and Monsters, good movie. You should check that out. So some of the other cast, like I said, the ghoul, played by Walton Goggins. It's a good character. Maybe just not for me. I know like a lot of people are going to like him because I think he did a great job, but again, I just don't like him. But his other character, Cooper, who was the guy that, I guess the actor turned ghoul. This is the one that I don't understand how he is still alive. What happened there? It's probably something that I did pick up on the show, but maybe I just didn't put two and two together, or maybe I missed something. So Elf, I'm sure you're watching, or I'll just watch something on YouTube. Let me know. Maximus, he's the other lead of the show. He's like the third of, you know, it would be probably Lucy and then the ghoul and then Maximus. They're the three leads. He is okay. He's likable enough just because he's a good dude, but the character himself, like, he's very robotic and just, like, kind of stale. And again, and that's the character he's supposed to be playing because he was raised. He's raised in this thing that's called, like, the Brotherhood of Steel. And it's not, it's, like, mostly men, but there's some women in there, but it's, like, very militaristic the way it's run. So they're very, like, macho, and he has no idea really what sex is. You find out at one point in kind of a funny scene, but kind of like a like sad scene. It's like, oh, like this is what he's been told, like the way he thinks sex is. So the character is very naive and doesn't know a lot about, well, actually he knows about the world, but it's funny. Like Lucy's so intelligent for someone who's never lived in the outside world, but the two of them work so well together because they do team up because they have a common goal. Another great character is Thaddeus, and this is, hey, Teresa, shout out again. Also, Elf, again, wow. Shug, you too. Man, a lot of shout outs this episode. Anyone who watched Superstore, Thaddeus is Bo, who plays Cheyenne's husband. He is, he's in one of these guys from the Brotherhood of Steel or whatever, and he's Maximus's squire for a little bit. I know this all sounds weird. If you want to watch that, like the show, I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, he had some pretty good lines, but he was a little bit more serious. Norm, who's Lucy's brother. I don't know like if I like this guy or not. Like he kind of started figuring out some of the weird shit that was going on. I'm not going to get into all that, but like towards the end and like the last two episodes, he just keeps making the same exact face. Like, I'm on to you, lady, but I'm not going to say anything about it. You know, and it's like nothing ever comes about like the shocking discovery he makes. Sorry, there's a spoiler. He makes a discovery. Him and the other guy who, when these two are together, it's so funny looking. It's like the cousins. And like Norm, I don't know if he's really short, and I'm not trying to like make fun of the actor's height, but the other guy, like there is like a 3 foot difference. Anyone that has seen this will know what I'm talking about. And these two are together for like three episodes, like towards the end, they keep showing them next to each other. And it's like, what are they doing here? But, and then there's a dog, in the show, which is pretty awesome. He's like kind of treated like shit though, which sucks. Never abused or anything, but there are, like there's one scene where someone does something to the dog and he gets out of the situation, but it's like, man, like it's just like it's basically a wake for the, because the dog won't stop following the guy, so he's like, I gotta slow you down. And he doesn't do at the moment nothing to hurt the dog, but something that could, you know, you, I don't know. I won't get into it, but anyone who's, again, you know what I'm talking about. There's like a bit of a twist at the ending, I guess, when they kind of explain to you what's going on, but I feel like every show now has a twist ending, so get ready for that. But overall, I thought this was a great show. Again, Brad, who I work with, thanks for recommending the games. I'm a little more intrigued in this, and I think it, for anyone, if you start watching it, it's kind of funny. Like my brother, he texted me and it was the same exact thing. Like he was on like episode 4 and he's like, I'm not really a fan of this show, I'm not really feeling it. But then when the next morning, you know, we both of us, we'd like binge the show like so quickly. Because that's what was the funny thing about it. Like after not liking the first couple episodes and then being like, oh my God, I got to finish this. So he did end up liking it too. So I guess maybe after like the first two or three episodes, maybe it's a little better. So I would give this show, I'd give it like an 8 out of 10. And it hasn't been, there's nothing announced yet for like a second season. But I guess California offered them a tax credit to film season two there. So that's probably will be incentive. Also, there's a cliffhanger ending. So anyway, let's talk about Parks and Rec. Season 4, Episode 13, Bowling for Votes, directed by Michael Trim, written by Katie Dippold. For your cold open, we start off in the Parks Department meeting room where Leslie's team is conducting a focus group. Naturally, it's Pawnee, so there's bound to be some unfair criticism, like when one woman says that Leslie's too short, like aggressively short. Like she's throwing it in your face. It's ridiculous. Then a man says that Leslie seems too uptight, like she wouldn't be someone you'd want to go bowling with. So this man's name is Derek. He's played by Kevin Dorff. He's only in this one episode, but he was also in The Office. He's, I forgot the episode number, but it's the one where Michael is trying to go around and give gift baskets to all these people. Like, I think he's trying to compete with the computer or whatever, but he's the guy that, like, he's one of the guys that Michael kind of, like, goes and asks for the gift basket back, and the guy's just like, what the f-? But anyway, yeah, he's only in this one episode. So, of course, the only thing that Leslie takes from this focus group is that this one guy thinks she doesn't like bowling. There's a great running joke in this episode, too, with Leslie saying over and over again to ask Ron in reference of how good she is supposedly at bowling. So now we're at JJ's Diner, where Leslie and Ben go over the results from the focus group. Again, Leslie is still fixated on this guy, Derek. So fixated that she did some research on him, a whole binder's worth, actually. She says he's not even that good of a bowler. He's about a 132 average. So quickly to cut in to show off how much better of a bowler I am than Derek. And I'm actually not that good. No, I think that the last league I bowled in, which was no joke, about 20 years ago, probably longer than that. I think my average was like a 167. I think it was like 163 or 167. So let's just go with the higher one. Let's go with the 167. But anyway, Ben tells Leslie that it's not so much the bowling. It's that a lot of people in general just kind of see her as an elitist or an intellectual, and that they need to see her doing something fun. So Leslie's like, well, why don't we just do a bowling event? And Ben's like, that's a great idea. And he's like, but you know what, though? Actually, I just wish there was someone that I could ask, like, if you were any good at bowling. She's like, there is. You can ask Ron. And it's just like, it's pretty funny. It's just like, oh, shut up. So, yeah, we're just we're under 3 minutes into this episode. And Leslie has already told Ben 3 times to ask Ron how good she is at bowling. So, like I said, it's a really funny runner. Over to Nope headquarters, the rest of the group has gathered for the 12th Leslie Nope fundraising phone bank. So essentially, it's just the team making their calls to potential voters. I have no idea what the 12th is in the title. It says it on the board, too. Like, it literally just says the 12th Leslie Nope. I don't know if that's like 2012. Anyway, so there's a big dry erase board, and it's just got like the 5 people, Donna, Chris, Andy, Jerry, and April. Yeah. So just as April starts complaining and says that this night couldn't get any worse, Mr. Chipper himself, Chris, shows up. Jerry, who's in charge, says whoever raises the most money gets 2 tickets to the Pawnee Monoplex. So I don't know if that's funny to me, just like the monoplex. Like, is it literally just one? Like, mono does mean one or solo. So is it just one theater and that's it? I don't know. It just sounds funny to me. It's just like one auditorium. Chris is very excited about this, of course, like he always is, as he's just talking about, he's like, oh, if I win this thing, I can take Jerry's daughter out. And he's not like a pervert about it like he has been in the past, at least. And it's been a while since I've been like mad at him for that. So that's good. Also, Chris's hair is back to looking good. Just in case, I know I haven't brought that up in a while. But anyway, he tells us that even though he's city manager, and this isn't a talking head, he's telling us, you know, he can't really, basically that when he's city manager, he can't play favorites like for the campaign. But when he's Chris Traeger, like public citizen, private citizen, he can support Leslie however he wants. And obviously this is going to become a problem towards the end of the season, like, because again, I've been watching some of the episodes. It's just like how I know how it goes. Like, Chris almost gets like, it gets to the point where they're just like, dude, you can't, like, if the Newport campaign wins, they're going to fire you because they know how close you are to Leslie Knope. And it's like, they don't want you if you, you know, no. Yeah. So either way, it's just, I guess, something like he didn't really think about, like, the repercussions of what could happen if Leslie doesn't win. So now we're over at the bowling alley for Leslie's event. I love it when Ron shows up and Leslie tries to be like one of the cool guys. She's like leaning on this table and she's just like, hey, Ron, thanks for coming, man. And it's like an auto mechanic kind of way. You know, she's like, hey, thanks for coming, man. Yeah. So it's also amazing that this bowling alley house is Ron's favorite restaurant in Pawnee. This is a great sight gag as we see the menu and it just reads food. Hot dogs, $1, hamburgers, $1.35. And it's just Ron standing next to it, just smiling like, yep. And then we get an amazing line when Anne asks him, you're not scared to eat here? And he replies, when I eat, it's the food that's scared. Then Tom shows up sporting a new bowling getup, which includes a black and gold color scheme, new bowling shoes, new ball, and a bag, a sweet jacket with an embroidered scorpion, and even a wrist guard that the pros use. So just, yeah, like the one that helps you so you don't hurt your wrist when you're throwing a 16-pound ball. And even gives him props saying, man, when you do it, you really do it. So I didn't notice this actually the first time I was watching it, but I was looking for a thumbnail for this, the podcast thing. I noticed that this is an E720, Entertainment 720 bowling ball. So that's kind of funny. I love that they brought that back. And actually, you can see it clear as day the first time they show Tom when he's sitting there when Ron's putting in the names. We'll get back to that in a second. But yeah, when Ron is putting in the names, you can see Tom is like shining his ball and it's got the E720 logo on it. That's pretty awesome. Back to Knope headquarters. The group takes calls. Chris Sweet talks a woman named Deirdre Splatterfork. Another great like Michael Schur-esque name. I don't know who came up with this one, but it's so good. And he's just like, that is like literally one of the beautiful, I don't remember if he says that, but he does tell her she has a beautiful name. And again, Deirdre Splatterfork. Andy tells someone that they can't take donations over $50, which is funny because like April gives him a side eye and they are competing. So I don't know if like April's just like, whatever, I'm not going to tell him that because I want to beat him. But it's pretty funny. She just kind of makes it look like, no, that's not true. there's a really hilarious scene. It's part of the same thing. It's just kind of a little like they're sweeping through, showing us what everyone's doing. Jerry is actually, whoever he's talking to on the phone, he is talked into giving this person his social security number. So it's so good. I mean, Jerry's just like, oh, he's like, well, I don't understand why you need my social security number, but yeah, sure, whatever. And he's just like, it's 201 or whatever. It's so funny. And then Donna is whoever she's on the phone with. She's just like, absolutely nothing. What are you wearing? So it's just like, what the fuck? All right. And then, yeah, the last, it shows April, and she's just kind of she's being too aggressive with someone, and she's just like, I'm calling from inside your house. So, yeah, it's just kind of giving you a rundown of how things are going. After Chris gets a $100 donation, and he gets a very annoyingly excited, April vows to defeat him. So, back over to the bowling event, Ron enters in the names for their lane. It's him, Anne, and Tom, and after Tom runs through like four or five nicknames, they settle on Tom, and then Ron enters Anne's name simply as Girl. I thought this part was funny, and Joni was kind of laughing too. She was, I was watching it, and she was, just in the background walking by, but Tom's like, he keeps giving Ron like stupid names for him to enter in, and we used to do this all the time, because in my bowling league, back in the day when we were done with the league, we would hang out and bowl for a few hours. So it would just be like a bunch of games. And it's like, yeah, put Big Bri for me. And then it would be like, put Bri Guy. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But it, yeah, so it's just kind of funny with Tom like saying all these stupid, and Ron just, and that's usually the person who's entering the name and is just like, dude, just fucking pick one. So, but yeah, it's awesome that he puts Anne's name simply as girl. And she does kind of look over like, dude, really? Ben and Leslie get together and they talk about how well the event's going. But then Ben notices the guy, Derek, from earlier, who said he didn't like Leslie. So we find out that this guy received an invitation by mail, something Ben didn't know was happening. So I wonder, and now it's got to be this, right? He's got to be the only person that got this thing in the mail because she specifically wanted him to come. That would be really weird if everyone that was there got one of these things and we just didn't know that. Or Ben didn't know that Leslie actually mailed them out, but that makes more sense, right? She probably just sent to this one guy. Next, we get to see Tom Bull. And as a viewer, I was in no way, shape, or form surprised when I saw how he bowls, which is granny style, meaning two hands on the ball, underhand, bent at the knees, and it's just him, you know, kind of like, one and a two and a three, and just releasing the ball. Ann and Ron give him a bunch of shit until he gets a strike, and then he just, you know, shuts them both up, and you find out that he's actually pretty damn good bowling like this. Back over to Ben and Leslie, he tries to convince her that this is an event for all of her potential voters, not just this one guy who said one meaningless thing about her not liking bowling. Again, Leslie is still fixating on the whole fact that he just, you know, he's like, oh, she's not someone that, you know, you'd want to bowl with. She tells Ben she'll ease up, but in a talking head tells us that she's determined to win him over. Later, she asks Derek if he wants to bowl. The plan is to let him win and slowly get in his good graces. So then it's tough because she's a good bowler, obviously, and this guy's not very good. Again, we saw he's a 132 bowler. We will find out later that Leslie actually is a really good bowler. Ask Ron. Yeah. So in her research on this guy, she also found out that he's a big fan of the show Ice Road Truckers. So she's like, yeah, how's the beer? It's cold as the Kamatakawaka River or whatever. And he's just like, whoa, you like Ice Road Truckers too? She's like, yeah, it's my favorite show. Who knew? And then she's just like, I knew. And shows like her binder. It's great. So now we're back over with the phone fundraiser, where April is hamming it up with everyone, doing whatever she can to beat Chris. Right now, the tally is Chris 350 and April 260, at least for those two are in the lead. Back over to bowling. Leslie is now full-blown kissing this dude's ass. The thing with this guy, Derek, though, is that he's just like an asshole. Like, so in the beginning, when he said he didn't like Leslie, I was like, all right, whatever. You know, I mean, like, he's just personal opinion. But he's just like, he's not like a Dennis Feinstein type to where he's just like full blown, like mean, but he's just like slightly like misogynistic and just very unpleasant. You know, like Leslie's, she's like over the top trying to win the guy over. So I could see maybe it's like a little annoying on his part. Like maybe he knows what she's doing, or maybe it's just bugging him because he still just doesn't like this woman. But he's just playing because the bowling's free and she's feeding him beer and hot wings. But like at one point, he bowls a strike and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, like that's great. Good for you. And he's just like, yeah, you're up. Try not to break a nail. So there's certain times where it's like he doesn't seem too bad, but then other ones where it's like he just goes out of his way to be a dick. So also in the middle of Leslie and Ben talking, Derek hands the empty pitcher of beer to Ben and asks for a refill, thinking that he works there, or maybe just assuming that this random guy will do as he asks. So it is funny because Ben, yeah, he's just like, I don't work here, and just kind of puts the pitcher down. So obviously he doesn't fill it for him. Over to the fundraiser, Chris tells everyone that he plans on asking Jerry's daughter to move in with him. So he asks for Jerry's blessing, and though he says, yeah, of course, Jerry, he does seem a little apprehensive, which is kind of weird because we've seen, like I was just talking about before, how Chris was kind of a creep at some times in this season while talking to Jerry about the things that he does with Jerry's daughter and whatnot. But here he just says, hey, you know, like I was thinking about asking her to move in, like, you know, as long as that's okay with you, Jerry. And Jerry's like, sounds good, Chris. Like, he's like kind of like got his finger, or like he's chewing on a nail or so, or maybe he's got like he's like chewing on like his the thing from his glasses. Either way, he seems weird, and it's like you're kind of like, Jerry, like, this is great. I mean, Chris is a good dude, but either way, he's a little apprehensive. He then pulls rank and asks Chris to take his break in the other room. So April notices that Jerry's being weird. So when Chris leaves the room, Jerry tells everyone that Millie's going to end the relationship soon. We get a great line by Andy, too, and he's just like, wow, he's like, that's going to be really awkward when they move in together. So April just kind of looks over, and it's like she has like a look of concern, almost like she's not sure now what she wants to do. It's like, crap, like, should I beat this guy or whatnot? Also, maybe she's a little bit concerned with the way Andy answered. All right, so back over to bowling, we see that Anne isn't very good and that Ron isn't as good as he thinks either. Tom talks a little shit, but then his finger accidentally gets pinched by the ball return, which is just two balls essentially. This has happened to all of us who have bowled before, and it hurts a lot. So I understand Tom's pain here, but of course, he winds exactly how you would expect him to wind. So the two balls come up and they smash his little finger, and he's just like, "Oh, my fingy!" Like, actually says fingy. Of course. So like Anne and Ron are actually, it's to the point where they're looking around, like kind of like, dude, Tom, like making sure that no one's actually watching because they're getting kind of embarrassed. Tom even suggests that Ron did it on purpose out of jealousy, which was not the case. Obviously, it was pure accident. So then Anne takes him to go get some ice. A few lanes over, actually, you know what? I say a few lanes over, and this is the weird thing, because Derek and Leslie are actually bowling on the lane right next to Tom, Anne, and Ron, but they never show, something happens in a second here, which I'll get to, then you can see all of them right next to each other, but it's kind of weird that they're on the two lanes right next to each other, but it never shows them interacting as they're bowling, like as two separate groups. It's kind of funny. All right, so anyway, I guess I should say the next lane over, we see that Derek has beaten Leslie 134 to 122. He's a good sport and thanks her for the party, but says that he's still not going to vote for her, which pisses her off very much. So then she kind of calls him out, and it's funny because Ben's watching this whole thing happen. He's like, Leslie, like trying to get her not to get where she's about to get. And that is yelling at him and telling him that he sucks at bowling and that she lost on purpose, which was 100% true. So it's not just her being spiteful. So he challenges her to another game. If she wins, he votes for her. If he wins, she cleans his house for a month. So kind of like I said before, when he's like, oh, make sure you don't break a nail. It's just obviously, that's something that like a chauvinist would kind of say to a woman, you clean my house for a month. Like, it just sounds so degrading, you know? But then we get a great line as Ben tries to defuse the situation. He's like, hey, Leslie, I'd like to introduce you to literally anyone else. And he kind of does like a wave around the bowling alley, like basically telling her like, hey, let's just move on. Let's forget about this guy. And Leslie's like, oh, good, because I wanted to introduce my foot to Derek's ass. It's such a great line. It's so good. So then Derek hands his empty cup to Ben and again asks for a refill. And Ben's just like, I don't work here. So good. All right. We quickly back over to Nope headquarters. Millie shows up and everyone gets weird as Chris finishes his call in the other room. Andy even mentions that it's awkward and takes Champion outside to pee. So it's kind of probably weird for Millie because based on the way that everyone's acting right now, she probably knows that her dad told them, but she's just like, whatever, because I don't think she's that close with any of them anyway, but it is funny. Andy just picks Champion up like, all right, let's get out of here. And then quickly back to the bowling alley. Leslie and Derek do battle, but by the seventh frame, she's killing him, 147 to 98, even making jokes when he picks up a spare. Oh, a spare, that's so cute. She also has a clean game going, I notice, which is a clean game is just all strikes and spares. There's no open frames at all. Now we're back with the group as Millie and Chris go outside to talk. The others tell Chris that he can just go home if he wants, and Donna tells him to bring a coat. It's about to get real cold out there. Even Millie says, this won't take long. It's just, she's definitely there for the kill. Like, she's not there to, like, work things out with Chris. She's ready to just end it, which is so weird to me. And again, I know this is one of the conveniences where it's like, well, we need everyone together so we can have a story like this. But, like, why would Jerry's daughter pick this time to break up with Chris when he's working with his friends, with her dad, I don't know if maybe she thought like strength and numbers, like if they were all there, but she did go outside with Chris to break up with him. But either way, it's just, it's more conveniences like for TV shows, not just Parks and Rec, that it's like, yeah, she's going to pick this night to do it so everyone can see it. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but whatever. All right, so back to the bowling alley. Leslie has crushed Derek as the final score is 205 to 132. She talks a little shit, but says in all honesty, it was fun and she looks forward to his vote. But being the sore loser he is, Derek calls Leslie a bitch. And again, thanks to Elf from Melmac and Teresa from Germany for letting me know that bitch is a female dog. So Ben steps in, and after Derek shoves him, Ben punches him right in the face, knocking him over. So this is what I was talking about. Like, when he falls over on the ground and they're, like, taking pictures, I believe you can see, like, Ann, Tom, and Ron, like, kind of standing right there. So I don't think they came running down. Maybe they did, but I'm pretty sure they were just on the next lane. All right, one of Ben's favorite people in Pawnee, Officer Randy Killnose, this is the officer that's, like, always fucking with Ben, like the cheese plate later on, and then in season three when Leslie was with Dave, or was that season two? Yeah, for Trundle, man, I am so off here. The Chief's, his retirement party, there was the two cops that were talking to Ben, and he's just like, hey man, you got to have a drink. He's retiring. He's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a drink. He's like, well, you can't drink and drive. He's like, oh no, I'm not gonna have any. He's like, well, you got to have at least one beer. And Ben's just like, just tell me what you want me to do. So anyway, it's that guy, Officer Randy Killnose, again, awesome name, up there with Deirdre Splatterfork. We've seen him in a handful of episodes, and he says Derek might press charges. Probably wouldn't hold up, though, because, like, if anyone saw that happen, you would have seen that Derek pushed Ben first, so he technically started it, at least the physical stuff. Anyway, more great Ben being around cops awkwardness as he puts his hand on ice. He's got a lot of adrenaline, too, but the officer's trying to get his story, and Ben's just like, yeah, you know, it was just like, he's just, like, going nuts. It's just so funny the way he acts around cops because he's so afraid of them. All right, we're back at Nope headquarters, where Jerry informs everyone that Millie did break up with Chris. He just got off the phone with her. He also announces the winner of the fundraiser, and it's April, who beat Chris. Rankings and earnings are as follows. April in first with $510, Chris in second, $460, Donna third, $225, Andy fourth, $140, and Jerry in last, of course, with $83. So I guess he was running the thing too, but also giving out his social security. So he probably lost a lot of money tonight too. So April wins the tickets to the Pawnee Monoplex, but she doesn't seem very happy. So again, it's just like she knows what happened with Chris. So she's kind of like, oh crap, like I didn't want to win like this. All right, back over to bowling. Ron refuses to leave until he and Tom finish their game. Remember, Tom had to step away because he hurt his finger. So Tom ends up winning by like a few pins. And Tom, I love, he has the saying, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. So anyone that is unfamiliar with that line, it is from the 2001 awesome movie, Training Day, with Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. All right, the next morning at JJ's Diner, Leslie and Ben have breakfast, and he tries to convince her to let him resign. So again, it's more of him just like, dude, this is, I'm terrible. I am poison to your campaign. You got to let me resign. But Leslie's like, no, she refuses. She actually has like a very like, she's like disappointed in what happened, but she's not like acting like typical Leslie, like freaking out. She's just kind of like, it sucks, but you know. All right, so they have a pep talk, too, about how Leslie should answer any questions about the incident because there's a press conference coming up. All right, over to Chris's office. He's not doing so well because, obviously, Millie just broke up with him. So April offers the movie tickets to him, except now there's three instead of two. And when he asks about it, she says, well, I just thought maybe, you know, me, you, and Andy could go to a movie together. So it's a really good scene with April. Like, she even, like, you know, she's being very like, they're just stupid movie tickets, Chris. Like, just take them. But for her, that's a huge step. Like, to anyone else, it would sound really condescending. Like, here, I won these movie tickets. I don't fucking want them. You can have them. But like, her doing that, especially after she was trying to crush Chris before, is very like, it's an awesome scene with April. And she knows he's hurting. So like, he kind of moves closer to her, almost like he was going to hug her. But then she kind of backs off and like starts to leave and then kind of comes back and gives him like a hug. It's like a half-assed hug, but it's like about as good a hug April can give. So it's a really good scene. All right. Later on, Leslie gives the press conference to apologize to Derek. She starts to, but then stops and says, you know what? No. She's like, This guy was drunk. He was being rude. He was being a jerk. And then he called me my second favorite or my second least favorite word to call a woman. And then Derek, like, who's standing right next to her, calls her a bitch again. So it's just like, and it's awesome how Leslie responds, because Derek just leans over. Like, Leslie still has the mic, but he just kind of like pops his head and he's like, I kind of feel like you're being a bitch now. And Leslie's just like, see, like, so I love the way she reacts. Just like, you all saw this, right? You all saw him just call me a bitch for no reason. So it's pretty awesome. And yeah, she pretty much gets the last laugh there, because everyone saw Derek do this. There's a really cool shot here as this press conference kind of wraps up. It's pulled like into a TV shot. And then now it's Tom running another focus group, only now like the committee is more positive. So it was a really cool camera trick how they did that. Kind of reminds me of last week's episode with Ron, how he was with Chris and then Chris started laughing and then all of a sudden they were just in a different location and Ron was like, what the fuck? Like, how'd that happen? So this isn't like, it's not like a mysterious shot, but it's really cool how they did it, because we're just watching the regular scene and then it shrinks down into a TV that Tom is now showing this press conference to everyone. It's pretty awesome. All right, that's the end of the episode, except we have the tag. Ron shows up at the Rock and Roll Bowling Alley in disguise, and by a disguise, it's like a Marvel Cinematic Universe disguise, which is just a baseball cap and sunglasses, because no one can tell who you are when you do that. So he asks for a lane, and he the guy gives him a lane. He's like, no, no, no. He's like, I want lane 22 all the way at the end, which is, and that's another thing, actually. If you watch this, I just thought of this right now. Ron's on lane 22, which he said he wanted to be at the very end. When they show where Ron is bowling on the first alley. So when you walk into a bowling alley and see the lanes, they usually start from the left. It's just like reading a book, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they go all the way down. So the lane Ron was on, number 22, should have been on the other end of the alley. So technically, I think Ron was on lane 1, actually. So just saying. All right. So basically, the reason he's here, though, is, and why he's got the disguise on, is because he wants to try to bowl how Tom bowled, which is granny style. I hope that's not offending anyone. That's just how it was always, what it was always called. I don't know what the hell they call it now, but yeah, just bending at the knees and just kind of rolling it underhand. So sure enough, Ron bowls a perfect game doing that. Perfect game being a 300. The employee comes over, and I did work at an arcade for like 5 years that was part of a bowling alley. So I am very familiar with a lot of this, like, this stuff here, like how the guy working walks up to Ron and congratulates him. He's like, hey, we got to put your name on the wall. Like, that's, I don't know if it just, if they do that during regular open bowling. Definitely if it's during league bowling, like, you get a ring and everything. I mean, like, it's a big deal to bowl a perfect game. Like, it's a really big deal. You would think, like, the pros, it's like, oh, they do it all the time. It's like, they don't. I mean, like, in my life, I've seen, I think, one person bowl a 300, and that actually was during open bowling. So it was more just like, holy shit, like, Keith just bowled a 300, because everyone knew who the guy was because he was there all the time. But yeah, it's really cool to see. I mean, even if it's meaningless for that guy, because he's like, yeah, it's like my fourth or fifth one. So it's just like something to do. It's pretty badass. But anyway, sorry, the employee, he goes to congratulate Ron. He goes to shake his hand, and Ron just hands him the rental shoes and says, I was never here. And that's the end of the episode. So on IMDb, this episode is an 8.5. My thoughts, I didn't talk much about it until the very end about Leslie Knope specifically. I love her in this episode. And I don't know what it is, because, like, I love that, like, first of all, like, her line to Derek, the one about, like, I want to introduce Derek's ass to my foot, such a great line. But, like, Leslie is being very insubordinate, I'll say. Ben's not her boss, but technically campaign manager. And it's like everything he keeps telling her, she's kind of like, okay, yeah, I'll do that, Ben. And then, but like, she definitely has like other things in mind, but she's not doing it like in a jerky way. So I just like, even at the end of the episode, when she's upset because of how things went, she's still like, no, you know what, Ben? I don't deserve it. She's not freaking out or anything. She's just kind of like, well, it's just one of those things. So I don't know. I watching this episode, I love Leslie. It's probably like one of my, maybe a top five episode, just that character. I just think she's fantastic for some reason. I just really enjoy her in this episode. Speaking of Leslie, another one of the great running jokes. This one only goes through this episode, but it's funny that it happens four or five times. Again, with Leslie telling people to ask Ron. You've got the guy, tossing the guy, Derek. He's like, I don't even know who Ron is. And then Ben, too, to the point where he's like, oh, I don't know, Leslie. I wonder if there was anyone I could ask. And she's like, you should ask Ron. And he's like, yeah, I know. But anyway, what else? Yeah, like I said before, like I used to bowl in leagues, and also I worked, you know, in a giant building that housed a bowling alley. So I kind of love bowling in cinema just to see how accurate it is and whatnot. Tom's bowling swagger is great. The bowling ball, I love that it's an Entertainment 721, which makes sense because it's another one of those things they would just buy. And it's like, does anyone need this bowling ball? It's like, no, no one in our general group. But anyway, so Tom had a sweet ball. And yeah, the jacket with the scorpion and everything was pretty dope. I like how the cold open and the tag are literally like full circle, which it starts off with the focus group. And then at the end of the episode, it comes back. Not the same focus group, but still they're just like, okay, how about now? How do you like that? So I like that. That's pretty cool. And then Ben punching out Derek was obviously awesome just because Ben is a very nonviolent person. So even the way he punches is kind of like someone that has maybe never thrown a punch in their life. The only problem with this is that it wasn't Derek from seasons 1 and 2, April's boyfriend. It's too bad Ben didn't punch that one out. But anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizensofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. Please like and follow on Instagram @citizensofpawneepodcast and @parksrecmemes. Next week, I'll be covering season 4, episode 14, Operation Anne. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name's Brian, and I'll see you next week. Anne got Mark Indiana Pacers tickets for Christmas.